In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is but one God, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I greet all of you with the greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum. Sisters and brothers and ladies and gentlemen of the press, we've invited you today that we might address some of our concerns and the verdict in the Johannes Mezeli murder trial and to express our gratitude for the many people here in the city of Oakland who made this possible, that we would find ourselves on the course of justice. Johannes Mezeli is the first peace officer in the history of the state to have ever been charged with a murder. And while we are exceedingly disappointed that he was not convicted of murder in the second degree, and we are very clear that involuntary manslaughter is not justice at all, but we're very grateful that the people of the city of Oakland and the surrounding areas that from January the 1st of 2009 decided themselves to organize and to demand justice. From the very beginning, our call has been for justice. The Bible says that justice stands afar off, and equity cannot enter because truth has fallen in the street. That justice that we demand actually knows no color line, but it simply happens that in this country, where we live under the rule of the architects of white supremacy, that while justice does not have color, we all know that in practice, America does. And as a result, most of these that you call shooting accidents by law enforcement officers have as their primary target black men. And so when our brother and son was murdered, we declared in unity, "I am Oscar Grant." And it did not matter if you had an education or no education, "I am Oscar Grant." It didn't matter if you're from the east side or the west side, "I am Oscar Grant." It didn't matter if you were a Republican nor a Democrat, because "I am Oscar Grant." And we're very proud to participate here in the city of Oakland, where historically the city has great significance. The Black Panther Party was born here as a response to police brutality. And the first black mayor won his office with the support of the Black Panther Party and many others. And from this great city, we now have elected officials who were unafraid to stand and demand justice. I want the community to join me in giving a big round of applause to our council person, Sister Desley Brooks, who's here with us. She's going to have to leave. Who from the very beginning joined the chorus, and we sang together that we want justice. We want to thank, in his absence, though I spoke with his staff just a moment ago, our brother County Supervisor Keith Carson, who's the chairman of the Black Elected Officials and Faith-Based Leaders of the East Bay, that from that base, we began to make the initial demand that the district attorney would file charges against Johannes Mezeli. Family, give a big round of applause for Supervisor Keith Carson and the Black Elected Officials of the East Bay and Faith-Based Leaders. Included in that group on occasion is our congressperson, Barbara Lee, is our mayor, Ron Dellums, all of whom expressed their concern in varying times and in varying ways about the murder of Oscar Grant. And so as we stand here with you today, we want to make sure we extend our deep and sincere gratitude for all of the activists, black, brown, red, yellow, and white. We want to extend our gratitude to each and all, young and old, Oaklanders and non-Oaklanders, who traveled to secure justice. Somebody asked me as I closed on KPFA the other day whether or not I was concerned about those that were coming to Oakland to express their demand for justice in the murder of Oscar Grant, because some in the media have portrayed that out-of-towners were the greatest problem in January of last year. And while we may be able to validate in arrest records that there are folk that came from out of town, let's be clear. Martin Luther King was not from Alabama, but Rosa Parks and the call for justice was there. And he would declare that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Let's give a big round of applause and appreciation for all of those that traveled in the course of justice. On the day of the verdict, there were various activities planned for which there were some who were frightened. What would be the outcome if the people were not satisfied with the verdict? To be clear, we were not satisfied with the verdict, but we are determined to bring about a complete and lasting change in the way our people are treated by law enforcement. So I want to bring before you one of the young organizers that prepared for our young on 14th and Broadway from the Oakland General Assembly for Justice for Oscar Grant. Please receive Tony Coleman.
I just want to thank all the young people that came out. They didn't want to stay home and pin it up inside. They had to, you know what I'm saying, the guts to come out, because they had been told over and over this hysteria that it was going to be violence and that we were supposed to go to these healing centers, though that may have been good, but I know that they wanted to be out there with the people, and they needed to be with the people, and we wanted to set that up for them, and we glad that they came out and been standing with the people, and they was able to say what they said. I learned so much from the young people.
Yes.
I learned so much, and I'm real proud of y'all from Oakland for sharing what y'all had to say, getting it off your chest, and organizing, wanting to come to the meeting that we have in next Thursday, saying that you're committed to justice and that you're not giving up on this fight, because we are not satisfied with the verdict. And it's, we wanted to make sure that y'all, we want to stand behind y'all, because it's y'all is the ones that's getting pulled off these boards. I'm older now. It's y'all that need to step up. And it's y'all that came to that, and y'all been saying that y'all standing up, and that's what I was so proud of, to see y'all out there, the young brother over here, all these young people that came out and expressed themselves and are committed to justice. And we need to be playing a role of supporting these young people and let them lead this struggle for justice, because they're the ones that's on constant attack every day. These youngsters, if they out of high school, they don't got a track for them to go to prison. Am I lying? They got a track for them to go to prison. And we need to stop that. We need to be having more support for these young people and give them opportunities to be leaders and not pacify them and not try to just cuddle them. If they make mistakes, we there to support them. We want to see the next Malcolm come out of this movement. That's what we want to see. We want to see the next Malcolm come out of this movement. We don't want to tame, we don't want to put out that fire. We're not trying to say go home and just be peaceful and just pray on it. No, we saying we fanning the flames. We want them to be energized by this, because it's them that's under the attack, and it's them that can change this. It's them that can make this change, and we want to support the young people, and we so thankful that we have young people like that in Oakland that can come out and share with us and take part in changing this law, changing these police mindset, because that's what we got to change, is the mindset of these police officers who feel they can get away with killing our kids.
That's right.
As these young men and women gathered, the city was being secured in such way that we want to make sure we say thank you to Mayor Ron Dellums and to Chief Batts for organizing law enforcement in such way that they would not rain down the heavy hand that was rained down on Oscar Grant on January the 1st, that they took a step back position to allow the people to express their First Amendment rights to the freedom of speech. And I'm sure that there are many cities across the country that would not have permitted that many hundreds and thousands of people to gather without a severe law enforcement confrontation. To our friends in the media that took the images of Oakland and left us to believe that Oakland burnt down a few days ago. Yeah. Oakland did not burn down a few days ago. In fact, they had more fire after the Lakers won the championship than they had in the city of Oakland just a few days ago. So we hope that when we capture the images, we capture them rightly, that this city has great potential, that this city has many wonderful human beings. So before we put a picture of a burning scrap of paper, let's be real. We were blessed that on the day of that verdict, that while there was in fact struggle and difficulty, it was a day generally in which peace remained. I want to bring before you two men, some of our community OGs, who kept the peace with others, that decided that they would participate among the young that were gathering on 14th and Broadway. And these two esteemed men, you may know, it is our friend Jeffrey Peet and our friend Wilson Riles. Please welcome them to share their thoughts.
Thank you, Minister Keith. I'd like to thank especially Councilwoman Desley Brooks for her tenacity, her courage, her commitment to our city. She was there from hoe to hum, from beginning to end,
that's right,
to secure the safety of our community. It was a heroic, phenomenal job that she did, and I'd be remiss if I didn't take time out to thank her, as she is right over there in our presence. Secondly, I know sometimes when everything is police misconduct, nothing is police misconduct, and the word misconduct loses its currency. But I must say, I was there from beginning to end. I watch the open mic fest that you organized, Brother Tony. It was amazing. I was in awe of the young individuals articulating themselves and speaking out against justice in a nonviolent fashion. It was absolutely unprecedented in my life and phenomenal. A child should lead. Well, it happened in Oakland, California, Thursday, and that was phenomenal. On January 14th, in unprecedented fashion, Mayor Dellums went and faced off the police department in a way I've never seen throughout the country in all my days. I once was a young man, but now I'm an old man. And I can say that it was unprecedented, and backed them up and said, I got this. Let me do this. And like a Pied Piper walked down 14th Street. Unfortunately, when they got to City Hall, individuals who are known informants denounced and booed the mayor. That was a travesty. He didn't have that coming. And again, he was receptive, met with a whole array of us, and planned and strategized. What do you think? exercise restraint. I think he even had a Gandhian outfit on the night of the verdict.
Yes, he did.
Except blow without retaliation. That's what he told law enforcement. It was unprecedented. Oakland police were phenomenal. And the individuals that you were phenomenal in capitulating and stepping back. It was important because I saw countless bottles thrown by a particular segment of individuals. Not any of the individuals who came seeking justice for Oscar Grant, but a few individuals were taunting the police. And they didn't respond because had they, it could have been a disaster of immense magnitude. But they didn't. They didn't because we planned, we strategized. And I thank the mayor for his leadership on this significant, significant issue. And so I want to congratulate and commend the Oakland Police Department for their behavior and their restraint on Thursday. Because I know and I've seen Oakland Police Department misconduct. I personally have a suit against the Oakland Police for misconduct relative to my business. But that's insignificant. But I've seen it. I've seen them open fire on peaceful demonstrators at the port. So much to the extent that they had to change Oakland police policy relative to how they deal with crowds. So I've seen misconduct. But by and large, they and the protesters conducted themselves in a phenomenal way. And Oakland needs to be viewed as a model city in terms of how to deal with outbreaks of this nature. Thank you very much.
I want to associate myself with Jeffrey's remarks and other remarks. I want to particularly focus on this last point that Jeffrey presented. I want to thank Mayor Dellums for crystallizing. I want to thank Mayor Dellums particularly for crystallizing this concept of a model city. Oakland has been a model city around the struggle for racial and economic justice from its very beginning as a community. When Oakland had only one police officer in the 1850s, it was a black man who killed that police officer because that police officer broke into that black man's home claiming that he had harassed a white man. And that police officer didn't announce himself as a police officer, and that black man shot him dead because of that. Just a few blocks from here, a young man of the same age as Oscar Grant, Bobby Hutton, was assassinated by the Oakland Police Department. Eldridge Cleaver walked out of the building totally naked, and he told Bobby Hutton to also come out naked. But Bobby refused to take off his drawers, and because of that, the Oakland Police Department assassinated him. The Black Panthers and so many people in this community have been fighting for racial and economic justice in this community. And it's been exposed again and again and again, and we keep fighting. But I am more hopeful than I've ever been. I came to this city in the early 1970s, when there was Bobby Seale running for mayor of Oakland. His political effort changed the politics of this city and made it possible for Lionel Wilson to be elected and eventually for Ron Dellums to be elected. But we have much, much work to go. But I am confident because of what these young people got the opportunity to stand up on the streets of Oakland and to articulate their pain about the injustice, but 90% of them also stood up and said, we're going to be unified. We're going to work to improve ourselves. We're going to work to improve our community. And I've been never as hopeful as I have now because of this strategy, this tragedy. I want to finally say, our hearts go out to the family. No question. We go out to the pain of the family. And there's nothing that we can do that's going to bring Oscar Grant back. But folks are making a commitment that every day they're going to get up and at least spend an hour thinking about how they can make their lives better and make their community better. And because of that, it's going to happen.
In a few moments, we'll be joined by the mother of Oscar, Sister Wanda Johnson, who is on her way. And of course, we have with us already her big brother, who has been standing on behalf of the community for the entire time and for his family. Our brother's been bold and dynamic, and we're very proud to call him our brother. His family has been questioned repeatedly over their views over various elements of the case, sometimes unfairly. We talked before the verdict as folks were calling, asking the family to make statements about what happens in Oakland while we are in Los Angeles. And my advice has been, brother, tend to your family's needs. By God's grace, the people of the city of Oakland organized to tend to the needs of Oakland. But our brother could then take his time to protect and to secure his family. Before he begins, there's been the recent reports and revealing of a letter from Johannes Meserle dated July the 4th, an attempted apology for his deeds. And while we understand the process of atonement, the very first step in atonement is to be truthful, to point out what's wrong, and to acknowledge it. And ultimately, you've got to deal directly with the party that you have offended. A letter released to the press is not a letter to the family of Oscar Grant. That's a political letter to influence sentencing. The family shouldn't have to say that because they're too dignified to have to fight word for word and letter for letter, since the defense chose in this case that they would fight the character of Oscar Grant and they would fight the character of the friends of Oscar Grant. This thing called an apology should have been delivered on January the 1st, 2009. So please join me in receiving our brother, Cephas Johnson.
You know, first, to the community, the coalition of activists here in Oakland, and as well, the coalition of activists in Los Angeles, yes, California. We as a family, from our heart, thank you for just standing with us, supporting us, embracing us, loving us, coming to court with us,
yes,
crying with us, and allowing our voice to be heard through you, utilizing your First Amendment right to speak to the injustice of police brutality,
right,
in our community as well as across the United States. We owe much love, and we thank you for that. It's been a long, hard road, but there's chapters in this war. This is just the ending of a new beginning.
That's right.
The battle is just getting started. This involuntary manslaughter verdict is not what we wanted, nor do we accept it. We still stand firmly on the fact that second-degree murder should have been the verdict.
That's right.
And we're strategizing now in efforts to bring about some real serious charges from the Department of Justice.
That's right.
And to this letter that was not addressed to Wanda Johnson, Safina Mesa, or Tatiana, Oscar's daughter, or even to us as a family, this letter, and let's be clear, was not addressed to us. It was addressed to the public. He states in the very beginning of the letter, please get this message to the public. I didn't see my name, my sister's name, Tatiana's name, Safina's name nowhere at the title of that letter. So it's very painful to hear that the media portray this as a letter of apology to the family of Oscar Grant. We're not entitled or titled in that letter as if it was coming to us. Let's be clear. This is a letter that was purposely designed to influence the judge as well as the jurors to bring about what he got. Sadly to say, we're not buying it as a letter of apology to us.
That's right.
And the public does not believe it as we don't.
That's right.
And if I could just talk about a couple of things about this letter. He states in this letter that because of the public and death threats on his life, he wanted to have some form of dialogue and couldn't and had to leave the state. Well, he's incarcerated and he could write a letter. He could have wrote a letter when he was in, what was it, Reno?
Napa.
On the run, or Napa?
Tahoe.
Or Tahoe. You know what I'm saying? If he truly meant that he was sorry. He could write this letter after he served 14 years in prison, and then maybe we may believe he's truly sorry.
Right.
He talks about in this letter how he put his hand on the bullet wound of Oscar's back to stop the bleeding. Well, I don't know if anybody in this public, and I'm sure, because I didn't see it, where he did that.
Video.
What I did see in the video, because we know that speaks to the essence of what happened, was that he put his knee in the bullet hole of Oscar.
Yes.
And then proceeded to handcuff
him. That's right. That's right. Tell the truth.
Those are the facts. And if he had an expert witness, as he testified, that Mesley cannot remember everything that occurred because of this called so-called expert testifying on his behalf. Well, how can he remember these details now in a letter? I mean, you can't have it both ways. And we need to take a look at that. And it's real important that the media portray this as it really is. This letter was not addressed to Wanda Johnson, Safina Mesa, Oscar's daughter Tatiana, or the Grant family. I'm going to leave the letter alone, you know, because it's not addressed to us. But I did want to point out those facts that the media seemed to think that this letter was coming to us. And how do we feel about it? This is a ploy.
That's right.
The family feels like this. Just like he faked a cry on the stand. He's sending out a fake letter to the public. And nobody's fooled by this letter.
That's right.
And if Minister Muhammad, I would love for him to address this letter because there's not much more I can say to it but for the simple fact that it's garbage.
All right. All right.
I don't need to address garbage. It's already in the can where it belongs.
That's right.
I want us to stop and receive, if she desires to have any thoughts to share. But she does not want to share verbally today. But community, can we give a big round of applause for the mother of Oscar Grant, Sister Wanda Johnson. At this time, we want to take any questions, just a few, that you may have of our delegation. Any questions?
My name is Paula Parker of the Truth Society, and I've been open a level for 3 years. What's being to find out who these agitators, who these folks are that keep coming into Oakland, you know, and turning it upside down? They don't care. about what really happened. They show up, twilight, you know, ready for battle. And, you know, I'd really like to know if anybody in Oakland is investigating that, the media, you know, looking at where this is coming from, what is it about. It's very calculated, it's very planned. Last night I stopped by Whole Foods Market and they were closed at 8 o'clock. And the guards that were sitting there told me that the group that came there to break their doors, it was very calculated. And I'd just like to know who, you know, what is up with this. And Oakland should not be seen as a place to come and wipe your dirty feet and do your dirty business.
I want to appreciate our sister's question. And certainly, the duty of coming into the knowledge of who such persons are rests firmly with the Oakland Police Department, and as our sister has stated, with the investigative capacity of the press. Surely, we are unhappy with the way the city of Oakland has been portrayed as though the city was burnt down a few days ago. Quite frankly, the community experienced just the opposite. And so all of the plans that were prepared by the organizers and those in city government went off as scheduled. Anything other than that belongs to OPD, and we're sure that Chief Batts can find the answer to that question. Yes, sir.
I have a question. Has the media reported to the family the outtake on the city, once it was announced that they had a verdict? The city literally looked like Independence Day with all of corporate Oakland leaving.
Yeah.
Did they report that? I would like to know.
I have seen that in some coverage. The family, on the day of the verdict, was really tied up, and that would not have been a time for them to know it. But even as we went into the courthouse in Los Angeles, unbeknown to us with that lightning speed verdict, when we arrived at the courthouse in Los Angeles, California, it was being evacuated, and that was a bit surprising. We didn't know that we would be able to park nearby because it's rush hour in downtown, but on that day, it was easy sailing right into the parking lot. And we should say, while we understand policing's duty is to secure, it should not be anticipated that whenever black people are on trial or under arrest, that we're dealing with a community that has no control of itself. The most dignified people in this process has been the Grant family and the supporters of the Grant family, who have seen this case through to this point in our pursuit of justice. We want the community and media to know that it's a pursuit of justice that is not over. As has been stated, we're anxiously awaiting the swift involvement of the Department of Justice and the FBI to continue its investigation into the murder of Oscar Grant.
Right. Here, here.
Anybody that has seen what I have seen in 3 weeks of testimony knows that not only is Johannes Mezzali a man that should be charged, but Tony Peroni is a man that should be charged. I almost could not believe my eyes in watching nearly every police officer who testified lie. Not one officer has yet to declare they've heard a gunshot in the shooting of Oscar Grant. When Tony Peroni hurled racial epithets, the press didn't report it. They alleged that a leak came out through Mateer and Ross. I was sitting in the courtroom next to some of you that took weeks to mention the kind of language and poor treatment that was issued to those young men the night that Oscar Grant was murdered. Oscar Grant's friends have had their civil rights violated. They were arrested without being arrested. In fact, they were cuffed for 6 hours. Their rights were not read to them. They were taunted by BART police, and then the defense attorney wanted to dispute why they weren't open in their dialogue with BART police. In testimony, one of Oscar's friends said, "You just shot my friend. Why would I want to talk to you?" Well, take under consideration that these young men have suffered for 19 months and have been reported out to be thugs and young men of ill repute. They did what thousands of others did on New Year's Eve. They went to a fireworks show. They weren't going to do anything wrong. In fact, when Oscar took a picture on his cell phone of Johannes Mezzali, his mother reported that this was Oscar saying to me, "Look, Mom, I'm not doing anything." So how many mothers are out here that hear that their children have been impacted by law enforcement and ask their own children, "What did you do?" We've learned in this case that if our children say to us that the police have brutalized us, that we should organize ourselves right away. We should take ourselves to the local police department and into the community and to demand that a full investigation be mounted against police brutality. That's standing right. With us,
that's right.
My brother, I didn't bring him forward, is one of our community peace
that's
activists
right. That's right.
Who helped to MC some of the events on the evening of the verdict. I want you to join me and hear from our brother, Donald Lacey of the Love Life
Love
Foundation
Life.
And KPOO.
First of all, I just want to say, when I was not much older than these young men, I was handcuffed by the police for riding my bike on the sidewalk without a permit. Growing up in Oakland, it was natural to fear the police. Something is wrong with this picture. Because you have a badge and a gun does not allow you to murder innocent people like they murdered our brother Oscar Grant.
That's right.
I am inspired by the mother Wanda, by the uncle Cephas. I say that God has allowed this to happen for our community to come together, to love in Oscar Grant's name, to organize together. I want to thank everyone in my city, Tony Coleman, Minister Keith Muhammad, Jeffrey Pete, Desley Brooks, Mayor Dellums, because prior to the announcement of the verdict, you would have thought that all hell would have broken loose. But our city showed enormous restraint, enormous patience. I'm proud of my city, and I say let's continue to wrap our arms around this family. They need our love.
That's right.
They need our support. And I just want to say to the family, I stand with you, and God bless you.
Yes.
Final words is we're very grateful for our host pastor and this church that have permitted us to gather here for today's town hall and press contact. This is our brother, the Reverend Zachary Carey at True Vine Church, where we are partnered with our brother, the Reverend Gordon Humphreys, where we've hosted for the last 19 months weekly town hall meetings to address justice in the murder of Oscar Grant at Olivet Institutional Missionary Baptist Church. Question.
Yeah, I'm trying to find out, how do you guys plan to get the Justice Department or the Attorney General to get involved with federal charges, if I understand it? I mean, are you guys writing letters? I mean, how do you guys plan to get that action to you?
We will organize ourselves in such way to demand the attention that we deserve, respectfully and with honor. The Department of Justice has already responded and has published in the local news outlets that it is investigating this case as we speak. So we appreciate that there are men and women of conscience working in the Department of Justice. When I arrived to Los Angeles for a court hearing, I received a business card from a member of the Department of Justice to inform me that they were already keeping their eyes on this case.
May I ask Mr. Johnson a question, please? From what I'm hearing from these speakers here, it seems as though everybody wants to ignore that 100 businesses were damaged the other night, that there were firebombs and explosions and you know, a little bit of a violent situation. And I would like a little bit of the family reaction, because I know that at times throughout this long ordeal, you have made police public to please remain nonviolent. And, I'd like to hear from Mr. Johnson, please.
As I've said from the beginning, as I say now, the coalition of activists that have embraced us and loved us and supported us demonstrated in a peaceful, nonviolent way. We are clear, and it's factual, that many that comes to protest come with their own personal motive. And that includes police officers in regular plain clothes agitating the crowd. And then we have the outside element that comes with their own purpose and get tricked by those plainclothes officers to do what they do. It had nothing to do with the organization of Tony Coleman, Desley Brooks, or anyone else in Oakland in demonstrating our First Amendment right, and that is to protest and demonstrate in a peaceful way.
Do you have any evidence that there were plainclothes police officers?
The COINTELPRO. Well, I mean, we could talk about that. There's evidence of that.
As I've stated,
it's a good story. It was true, and we could sort of
prove to the members of the press, I'll state this again. I stated it a little earlier. It is unfair to put the weight of violence in the community on the shoulder of the family of Oscar Grant. That's not their responsibility. Brother Cephas' duty as a big brother and uncle is to do his best by his family. And while we appreciate that the press is looking for a story, that's not the story. That's not for them. Responding to violence in the streets of Oakland belongs to the city of Oakland, the people of Oakland, and whoever it is that's responsible for that violence. You had a question.
I'm wondering, can you expand on the Department of Justice investigation? What are you hoping the end result of that will be?
I'm not going to get in details of what we're strategizing to do with the Department of Justice, but let this be clear that the Department of Justice have taken notice of this case. And many across the country has also brought this issue to the Department of Justice. So let it be clear that the Department of Justice will get involved in this case.
Can you help people understand what path they can go down, what they can do, what they can look at, what power they have?
Well, that question would be best served at the Department of Justice. They've released a press release, so I would just advise we follow what's written there. Yes, sir.
In this whole situation, there's been a media portrayal that what has occurred after the verdict is somehow related to the family. Right. What is the family's view of this atrocity? To me, it's an atrocity for someone else to do something wrong, but then blame it on the family.
Right. So, I think I've spoken to that to some degree. Again, it's unfair to leave the weight of the community's response or someone's response on the shoulder of the family of Oscar Grant. Their duty is to seek healing in the death of their son. Their duty is to keep their family together and united. Their duty is to pursue the path of justice for their family. We're very grateful for the bold stand and voice of Brother Cephas, but don't lay the burden of what happens from others on their shoulders. They didn't organize it. They didn't ask for it. And quite frankly, when justice is not served, there's an anger that God permits in the heart of those that have suffered injustice. And when that occurs, we can be pretty clear, we're not the firemen. And we didn't start the fire. And the only way to put that kind of fire out is with justice.
Property damage or so-called violence, as opposed to the actual murder of Oscar, killing.
You had it right the first time.
And so I wanted to know if you would comment to that.
Well, it speaks to what the problem has been all along. I think a few days ago I posed the question, what is the value of the life of a black man? And so while we would not want to see any innocent people to lose property or to lose a day of work, we understand. But if we are humane, we would first cry out for justice. Right. What we've witnessed is a response to injustice. Yes. And if we want to secure peace, then justice is the path toward peace. In fact, peace is the fruit of justice.
Having been out in the street that night and seeing a lot of things that were done, unfortunately, it seems that the press is putting the burden of violence on people of color. And I have footage and stopped a number of provocateurs, I think they call them, with masks, who what we call non-Melanites. And they were people without color who were instigating. And I saw one man put down a Molotov cocktail, and one I stopped from throwing. And I saw the throwing from everyone. And afterwards, at about 11-something at night, I went around to Whole Foods, and I met, because I accidentally ran my car tire against the curb, and I looked at my tire, and there was an elder man who was the keeper of the apartment building, which houses retirees across the street. He said a group of Asian kids with hammers broke into Whole Foods and broke into the retirement place. So we had children or youth of all nationalities performing bad behavior. It wasn't just people of color, and I think that's the problem with the problem in LA during the uprising. They only showed what color, what black folks did, but everybody was lawless. I mean, if there was lawlessness, it was across the board. Just wanted to make that comment.
Thank you so very much. Sisters and brothers, ladies and gentlemen of the press, at this point, we will conclude our press contact. We appreciate your time and your attention. Thank you.